So, an extension of my wallet is now found in this new phone. We actually have wallet support in the phone, and so I think we should talk
Let's talk
about
about the
that with
wallet.
these good people. I know they've been dying to hear about the wallet. So, wallet support in Phone 8. It's exciting stuff. It's good to have it. I think you can't have NFC without having the wallet. They kind of, in some ways, seem to go together a little bit, you
They do,
know?
yeah. Although I want to make one point about the wallet. It's not just about payments cards. It's not just about micropayments.
Right.
It's actually a hub for storing cards in a more general sense.
Yeah.
So you could have your airline cards registered in there. You could have membership cards, custom cards. So,
Right.
and any app that has a concept of a sort of a membership, and you want to create a place where the user can go and have it with a quick glance, see what their current balance is or their current status, or go and look for offers and this sort of thing. This the wallet is the new hub on the phone that's going to allow you
Do they
to
have a
do it.
card for the Andy Wiggly fan club?
Not yet, but not yet.
For all the groupies that are following you around Northern England, you know,
No.
Wales, stuff like that. All right, enough of that silliness. Okay, topic. So we're going to talk about applications and wallet storage because there's some interesting stuff you need to know about that. We're going to, as Andy said, there's a card, so it could be your groupie card for Andy Wiggly fan club. And how do we create that card? Because we're going to need one of those, obviously. Who would have known that we get another use for the background agents?
These background agents, yeah.
They're everywhere,
They
aren't
are
they?
everywhere.
And then how to create a payment, you know? So let's dive in and let's first do a high level overview. Let's just imagine you just opened up your phone and navigated over to the wallet app. It's a first party app that we built at Microsoft, and you know, again, like as Andy said, it's a place for your credit cards, coupons, loyalty cards, groupie cards for rock stars, things like that. You know, so it doesn't have to be a credit card necessarily. It can be something crazy like that.
Now, in fact, if you've got a, if you had a Windows Phone 7 account, you would have, and you purchased music or apps, you would have registered in the Zune client on the desktop. You would have registered a credit card for paying for those items.
Yeah.
So if you then, if you're lucky enough to have a Windows Phone 8 device, that card will turn up in the wallet as your first, if you like, your first card. And as we'll find out, you can obviously add further cards into that wallet. It just becomes a nice, it's a hub where all of these things are gathered together. So it's a, can think of it as another surface, another place for your app to surface itself to the user, another contact point with your user.
Like live tiles for cards.
Yeah, that's kind of
Kinda.
what it is.
Kinda.
Yeah.
All right. So there's this notion of a wallet having information on a per application basis. So kind of a backing application for these things. And holding different information. We talked about transactions and special offers. That'd be like coupons, membership information, you know, where's the next concert date for Andy's band, things like that. And then custom fields, as you might expect.
Yeah.
So if you open the wallet, you navigate over there, and scroll down, you can launch the wallet, you can store the details of your membership cards, and then you're linked to wallet-aware apps on the phone, which I think is an important point to make that'll kind of carry through this, is there's going to be an app kind of paired with
Yeah,
every card.
it's kind of important to realize that once you enter a card into the wallet, the wallet itself is just a repository. It's just like a place to put these things. It's an app. It's a hub on the phone where you can go and see all these things. The cards themselves are not going to auto magically update themselves. That's what your app does. The app is linked to the card, and it's the app that makes the card come alive.
Absolutely. So let's say this is kind of the screen you see when you first launch the wallet app. And that's where you can enter details of cards inside the wallet. And then again, you know, there's the each card is associated with an application that manages those transactions. And then, as you might imagine, you can PIN protect it. It wouldn't be a wallet without a PIN, would it?
It wouldn't.
Absolutely not.
And that PIN, if you then, when you come to buy subsequently, like I said, I used that example of the credit card you registered for app for marketplace purchases
Right.
on Windows Phone 7 devices. So you can actually have multiple payment cards alongside your membership cards in the wallet. And when you come to purchase an item, you or from in-app purchase, which we're going to talk about next, or from the, you know, apps from the store or music, You can choose one of the payment cards to pay for it, and you'll be asked to enter that PIN again. So that PIN protection feeds through to that.
Oh, that's good. That's important stuff. So just add a new card. It's simple enough. You, as so often you see, there's a little plus sign in the application bar that Andy taught you how to build, and that's kind of where you start adding your cards, and then it searches the store.
Yeah,
the Windows Store for wallet-aware applications, because you might add a card and it's going to look at, you know, you might a particular credit card.
Yeah. So the essential deal here is there's two ways of adding a card. So the normal way would be first download the app.
Yes.
And then the app will have some way of feeding your card details into the store. So there'll be some interaction between the app and the user to identify them and get their card details. And the app can enter the card into the store. Or the user can manually enter a card into the store and then search for the app and link the app to it. So there's kind of two ways of doing this.
Certainly.
Oh, the point there, you know, it says about the first six digits of the card number. So where if it's a payments card, the card number, the first six digits, I always, and this is a payments industry standard thing,
right.
First six digits identifies the, you know, the bank or the financial institution that has issued the card. So the Windows Phone Store app can use that six digits to go and suggest to you, oh, you know, you seem to be entering a Bank of America card or something.
Right.
Do you want to install their app?
Right.
Yeah.
Pretty clever stuff.
Uh-huh.
Almost as clever as when I saw you tap your phones together and send a protocol association, uh-huh, which downloaded an app.
Yeah. All right.
It's analogous.
Yeah.
But you might want to do manually, like we said. You know, you hit the plus sign to get that going in there, and you completed the special chooser. And there's this add wallet item task. And then once you've completed, we talked about searching for that linked application from the store. And when it finds it, it binds it to that wallet, to that card in your wallet. So navigating. And then when you find the card, and you can open it, and it looks like we have a kind of a silly-looking card there.
Yeah.
I don't know where that logo might have come from. It almost reminds me of a Lens application I saw yesterday.
It could do. It could have come from the same source.
But the user selects the card. The details are supplied. There's the certain fields that are all in common. You know, card name, membership number, issuer, date, things like that. And, you know, the card might be associated with a multiplayer game, for instance.
Yep.
It could be used to store their user credentials. Other cards might have the balance that could be monetary, you know, for banking. Or it could be a virtual currency, such as membership points, maybe for an airline. Of course, we have so much virtual currency in games now these days.
Yeah.
You know, no telling.
No, that's right.
Wallet-enabled applications. So we kind of talked about this paired-up application that is linked to the wallet. And so the wallet application itself is not actually doing the manipulation of the money.
No, that's right.
It's the app that's tied to it.
Yeah, so like, just come back to this point, the wallet is another, you said about it being a live tile. Yeah, it kind of is, but it's a page.
Right.
Inside the wallet app. So
right.
it's another surface where your app can post information up, and the user kind of will get, you know, the user of the phone will know that they can go into the wallet at any time and look at details, select any of the cards that have registered in there and look at their details. So it becomes another surface for your app to publish stuff, information out to the user.
Definitely. Much easier than having to have them search on the store to find all the individual apps,
mm-hmm,
or find them once they've downloaded them all over the place. It's great to have that central location that's for all those kinds of needs. I think the best thing we need to do is talk about creating and using a membership card.
Yep, let's do that.
Let's just do it. So we've kind of gone from how the consumer sees the whole wallet thing. Let's go and talk about how a developer sees it and how you.
So now we're building a wallet-aware app.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No surprise here. We have a capability, and so you got to check the checkbox for the wallet capability in order to do this, or it's not going to work for you.
Yeah. So for simple membership cards, you only need the top one there, the ID Cap wallet, but the other ones are for micropayments, that kind of stuff. If you want to do that kind of thing, you need to contact the Microsoft's the support team behind the dev.windowsphone.com, because okay. you need to have special arrangements set up to do that kind of stuff.
Certainly. Yeah, I mean, this is...
financial industry regulation.
Yeah, this is getting a little more sensitive here. And so, yeah, we can't just let anybody do this stuff.
Right,
we got to get things checked out and tied in. All right, so adding a card within the applications. So the card is linked to the app that uses it, and the app itself is the one that does the populating, you know, via things like the wallet transaction item and passing that in. And then you have a number of standard fields, as you might imagine, like you would see, you know, we've used wallet applications built by other users in the past and things to hold passwords and credit cards, and so this just takes it to the next level. So here's kind of an example of creating a wallet entry for a membership card, and so you kind of see kind of newing up that wallet transaction item and then having kind of those standard fields like you might expect with issuer name and customer name and all those things, as well as bitmaps to go along with it, you know, to show you how the card might look.
Yeah, that's right. And those three lines at the bottom, add wallet item task, it's another one of these launcher guys.
Right.
It's a launcher and chooser.
Another one.
Works in just the same way, but this time it will launch a UI up to the user to say, are you cool about this card being added to your wallet?
Does the UI look something like this?
Funnily enough, just like that.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yep.
So we can't spam the wallet automatically by having some app bot firing in a bunch of things like that.
Yeah.
So that's good. We're always getting verification from the user. I wonder what that might be looking like in real life.
All right, let's see.
Let's take a look.
All right, so a demo now. Look, it's the Jumpstart Club.
Oh.
Yeah.
Excellent. We have our own club?
We have our own club. Yeah, that's right. So we're going to issue membership cards for our club.
Excellent.
Let's run this up. Now, before actually I go in to do anything with this, let's just take a step back. Let's go off and have a look what's in the wallet at the moment, which is, it's not even on here. So let's go and pin it. There we go. Pin that to the start screen as well. There we go. So this is the wallet on a new device, because this is an emulator, so it's like a freshly bought, fresh device. This is all the get started and learn more. This is the kind of things you can do with your wallet. And we have no cards in there at the moment. So we could tap the plus sign to add a new card. So this is where you could add a credit or debit card or some other card. This is one that's currently in the store at the moment. So this has gone off to the store and has got a list of wallet aware cards.
Right.
There's precisely one. But then, hey, we only just launched this phone.
That's true.
Yes. Here, I don't see the app I'm looking for. You could add your card manually. So this is the user perspective. But the other thing, actually, is hidden from here, and the one that should be here after we've submitted this app, is the Jumpstart Club application.
Of course.
Would be here. So we would tap that, and we would install the Jumpstart Club, which, funnily enough, is what we are running here. There we go. So we've launched the Jumpstart Club. Another example of stunning UI design.
That's beautiful.
Add Club. I'm going to hit this button, and we're into this this method here. Let's run. There's another breakpoint coming up. So here we are. This is where we're newing up that that wallet transaction item object, the issuer name, which is this object's been passed in. We populated this elsewhere. So this is the Jumpstart Club membership card, and we're going to just set a few other bits of information. We give it 1,000 points. Display available balance. These are just string fields. You can put absolutely whatever you want. This is entirely under the control of your app, and it's not user editable within the wallet application. So this just remains. It's a string. It remains under your control. We set some bitmaps up, as you can see. And then here we go. We're into the add wallet item task. We're about to show it. I'm going to let it run. And we're into that. This is the UI that's come from that launcher and chooser. So I'm going to say, yeah, absolutely, we're going to save it. And it's called back. It's actually a chooser because it gives you a status back.
Right.
So this now we're back in our application. And we just say, OK. And actually, from the app's point of view, that's it.
OK.
But now, if I go back and look in my wallet... Woohoo! There you go. The Jumpstart Club membership card is now one of the registered cards in this wallet.
That's great.
And I can tap on it and open the whole page for it, and there you go. And look, there's a link to the app. So this is a, you know, a way from the wallet is a way of leading the users back to your application. There's our available balance, 1,000 points. Account info. Ah, there's the culprit. This is the guy behind this stuff.
This is all coming together now.
Yeah. Oh, even got, hey, look, we've got a website. I bet that doesn't work.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, there we go.
Wow,
yeah.
No, jumpstartclub.com.
So, yeah, well, this is still under development, this club.
Okay.
As you can see.
Yeah. All right. Oh, well.
There we go. So that's a simple example of how an app and the whole flow of thing, how the user might download an app and the app might then create the card. And obviously, that's a very, very simple example.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, sure.
That was a lovely example. All right. Let's talk about just kind of general wallet use, right? So you're storing your membership information in there. Users can find your app by looking at the list of all the cards. They can update their wallet information right there, which makes it easy. I mean, this is pretty simple. And then, you know, and there's kind of this two-way connection between the backing app and what you see in the display.
Yep.
Wallet background agent.
Yeah, so the thing here is obviously the user expects to go in the wallet and see stuff changing.
Right.
Now, there's two ways that stuff can change in there.
Okay.
One is they run the foreground app, and the app is doing some web service calls and getting some data and using that data to update the wallet items.
Right.
We got to show an example there of creating one, but of course we can update it.
We can update it.
But of course, the real way you really want to do this is have a background agent that's going to run alongside all the other background agents. So every 30 minutes or so, under normal usage, and could be going off to web services, getting some data down from the back end systems, and updating that wallet item in the wallet.
Absolutely, well, that's great. So we can create these background agents that do that updating and refresh it, approximately every 30 minutes at the low end. I suppose those have to be refreshed. Like any background agent?
Well, these are a little bit different.
Are they different?
Yeah, yes. I think this one doesn't. Don't quote me. This might have to check my facts here.
We're going to check our facts later.
But I think they don't. They do have a different class. They are built slightly differently, as we're about to find out. So their normal rules may not apply in this case.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. Special offers that we can display.
So this is just an example of kind of some of the things you could do from a background agent. This is one of the things that you could throw up on the card. You can stick up a message next to the logo there and grab their attention with some special offer that you want to give to them.
All right. So looks like it's easy enough to build a wallet agent, but we don't have a specific template for it, do we?
There isn't. No. So I recommend you use the regular scheduled task agent,
right,
which obviously spits out code that's aimed at a standard background agent.
Okay.
And then just edit that. That's a good template for what you want.
Okay. And then, like so many times when we have a background agent attached to a foreground, it kind of looks like this. You see the two projects.
Just the same. Just the same as we've done before.
Absolutely, with the foreground. And then here's the adding the task.
Yeah, you actually have to go in and edit this yourself.
Okay.
So you have to add this extended task underneath the default task. So this is why I say it's not quite the same as the other background agents. This is kind of plumbing more into the workings of the phone. So this is the main way that you're going to be updating the details that are on that card in the wallet.
Right. Absolutely. And then, of course, we have the background class.
This is what it looks like. And you see the base class. You probably won't remember from yesterday, but the base class of a regular scheduled agent was not wallet agent. It was
no, it wasn't.
Something
it was
else.
It was something else.
Yeah.
And we were having an on invoke or something.
Yeah. And the main method that gets executed on the other one, it was on invoke, exactly. In this one, it's called on refresh data. So,
right.
And it takes a refresh data event args object.
Exactly. And again, there could be a web service or something that calls to do that. Oh, but there's more. We could also add a special offer.
Yeah.
Right here.
This is hard coded here, but typically in a real one, you'd go off to a web service, you'd pull down details and use that to update the actual wallet transaction item.
Okay. So if you kind of look away from the hard-coded for each deal that we're using to put this in, you can see, though, how we created a wallet transaction item.
Special deals on that cheese made backwards.
Yeah. Pretty interesting.
Mm.
That's good stuff. And then, obviously, you add it there, have the message to display, and then you save it asynchronously. And then, you know, there's your display of the text. Let's see what that deal looks like, basically in code. So adding a deal. So
you have special offers and you have deals. A deal is another kind of another bit of stuff you can offer to your user.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So lots of things, lots of fields to fill in.
There's lots of ways you can interact with it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I like the barcode image thing.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's kind of clever.
Yeah. And that's what one looks like. These are the deals. Yeah.
Look at those deals. You know, a nice little tag. Excellent. So you never know where the deals are going to come from. I'm kind of thinking about the camera seeing those things or NFC reading tags. So who knows how those deals are going to be interacted with.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, out in the real world. So let's take a look at using the wallet agent.
All right. So we're still in the wallet there. Let's just come out of that. Stop that one. The next iteration of our Jumpstart Members Club application includes a background agent.
So we've improved our club, haven't we?
Yeah. So here's our background agent. It has the code in it. Here we go, on refresh data. And, oh, weirdly, it's that code we saw on the slide.
Get out of town.
Spooky. Yeah, there we go. And that is has been added into the manifest of the foreground app. Oh, didn't mean to do start the GUI one. Open with the XML editor.
We seem to be spending a lot of time in the XML editor.
We do, yes. The GUI is good for some stuff, but not for everything. Here's the extended task we've added into this tasks element. This is what this is what we're doing to tell the system that there is a background agent for this wallet item. So that's how we register it. If we just simply run this thing now, it's the same app, but what will have happened? Go to the wallet. We'll go off to our Jumpstart Club. And hey, look! This special deal is offered on here.
It may be hard to read, but
it says cheese. It's just Jumpstart Members Club cheese sale with special deals on EDAM. Tap here for more details. That has been written in by the background agent, because the background agent runs straight away when you first install an app. And actually, I'll tell you what I'll do. Let's just do that once more.
All right.
Because what I'm going to do first of all is bring back our emulator, which is there. Oh my gosh, I've got that many running.
Wow.
There we go. So I want to delete. I'm going to delete this card from the wallet and all its data. It's all gone. Maybe it's gone. So there's nothing now in the wallet at all. Let's just run that app again. So this is the same thing we did before. We're going to add the card to the wallet. It's exactly the same code as before, and it's okayed and it's done it. And over back into the wallet, and this time, same, apart from that has been put on there again. This is the one thing about when you add a new card, it will automatically straight away run that background agent to update the details of the card. Because obviously, it won't be a static entity. A card isn't a static entity. You need to update it with current information. So the background agent, that's what its job is for. Now, this is deep linked as well, so I can tap on this and it takes us into the app.
Mm.
So that's another way of launching the app. So you can launch the app at the start page from that link, or the deal is deep linked actually to this is a second page, another cheese, lots of cheese deals. Cheap cheddar, economical EDAM, modestly priced Monterey Jack, discount Danish Blue, savings on stinking Bishop, and genuinely reduced Gruyere, and cut price Camembert.
Wow, you really have to be into cheese to know about all this stuff. No, maybe not. You know, this is, you know, if we kind of extract ourselves from the development aspect of this and just think about culture today, how users are so hyper plugged in to getting deals. There's websites all over the place that people visit every day that have a deal of the day. There's all kinds of apps that people on their phone push notifications telling them about special deals. I mean, I know lots of people who are just kind of wired into it. And so I think we can't overstate too much what I think this could become, this hub, beyond just kind of we think about it for being credit cards and things like that. But I can imagine, especially with all you, innovative developers out there.
And cheese lovers
who might tie in either doing your own thing or tying in with existing retail sites. I can see how this could become a place where people are going to hang out a lot. I can imagine this wallet every day, I'm going to be checking my wallet and looking and seeing what the deal of the day is. I might have a list, I mean, of tied in retail sites that are tied into this and checking what the deal is for the day for electronics, for whatever I'm into.
Yeah, and actually, just back to the demo machine, we just go back into that wallet. We haven't got a demo of the of adding deals, but the deals would be here. So yeah, you're right. All these background agents could be throwing stuff into here.
Yeah.
Which is coupons essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's it. You know, use your imagination.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's an infrastructure for building interesting interactions with your users.
That's exactly right. Your imagination is the most important thing here. I can see great hot new startups emerging from nothingness based on our new wallet that we have here. I'm excited. Maybe we should go do that right now.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Let's just leave this.
Just leave this. Okay, so refreshing. I think you already talked about refreshing the card in your demo there.
Well, yeah, it's called whenever you add a new card, but and obviously whenever the agent runs every 30 minutes.
Whenever the agent runs.
But actually, also, yeah, can we just go back to the demo machine just one second? So down here in the underneath, that you can actually refresh on the menu. The user can refresh it, and actually, I've got a breakpoint now in the agent, and you can see that we've actually it has invoked the agent that way. So that's another way of the data being refreshed by the user interaction. So it's being refreshed all the time.
Oh, that's great. So beyond the refreshing, another thing I saw there when you popped up the menu was delete.
Mm-hmm. You can delete a card.
And so you can delete a card, and it's going to unlink it from that backing application. What happens, I guess, if you uninstall the backing application? Does that, I guess...
That will release the linking.
Release the
card,
linking.
I think the card would probably stay there.
Does it stay there, though? It just releases the link?
I don't know. Let's try that.
Oh. Outstanding. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's move on to that. Do you... What? Is that something we have, or no?
Sorry, I was just going to delete that. Yeah,
Looking on the Visual Studio.
Yeah, what's this called? Jumpstart Members Club. So we're going to uninstall that from here.
Yeah, just to take a look.
Plus any information. So has it gone from the wallet?
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what happens.
No, it's still there, but it's not linked to an app anymore.
Linked.
So it becomes an orphan.
It's an orphan.
Yeah.
But it'd be a great reminder to someone that, hey, this is something I might want to get again.
But you see
later.
Now, this is interesting, because on the card now, whereas before it had a link to the Jumpstart Members Club app,
right.
Now it says get app. So this is now going to go off, if you hit that, it'll go off to the store and find the app again, so you can reinstall the app.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. All right, so we're refreshing, we're updating, deleting the card. So now let's talk about using a payment instrument card. So we're kind of getting a little more transactional, aren't we?
Yeah.
With payments and things like that. Again, we have as you mentioned earlier, the additional capabilities, the secure settlement and pay instrument capabilities that you're going to have to set to do this. Because it's getting a little more serious, you know? So creating a transaction, you've got to find the wallet first, right?
You've got to find the item, yeah. So transactions are attached to a wallet item, yeah.
Absolutely.
So the first stage is to actually go and find that particular wallet item.
Right, so you find the wallet item, and then we're going to create...
Create a wallet transaction, yeah, and then you add that to the card.
Excellent. That's easy enough. And then storing it, you know, you've added that transaction history.
So you add it to the transaction history, yeah.
You save async.
Yeah.
This is pretty simple stuff. And then you can view what you just did.
That ends up in the wallet.
In the wallet itself.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Absolutely.
So, very quick demo for that. All right. Here we go. This is the Jumpstart Bank. I'm going to create this. Add a new card to the wallet, the Jumpstart Bank. And just very quickly, we're going to show that we've now got two cards in here, Jumpstart Club and the Jumpstart Bank. Jumpstart Bank has just got the raw information at the moment. We've created that in the same way. Go back to our application, which is here. And then this spend cash simply stores, it creates random transactions and stores them. So now go back to the wallet. And you'll see that Jumpstart Bank has added, there's a new tab has been added to the pivot. Mm-hmm. And these are the cheese purchases. Those three times I hit the button, it's bought three lots of cheese.
Excellent.
So you can see how we can actually add now, this is a richer card with transaction history on there.
That's great.
Okay, that's it.
All right. Yeah, so you have the payment instruments, can store credit and debit information. The card doesn't implement the bank behavior.
Yeah, it's important to remember the wallet is just a repository for right. stuff. It's the app and the way the app interacts with the web services of the institution that it's related to. This is where the smart stuff is.
Absolutely. But the user doesn't have to think about that. Excellent. So I think we've seen really quickly here, we've got this great wallet for all kinds of things, whether you're purchasing, if you're in a fan club, or deals of the day and things like that. I think there's going to be a lot of new opportunities based around this wallet. All right. Thank you.
So we've got one more session before we break for an hour for lunch. Yeah, and that is the in-app purchase.
In-app purchases,
that'll be the next thing. So we'll see you very soon.
Stay tuned.